Okay, we're continuing in Rambam Hilchas Kilayim, Perek Ches Halacha Test, Chapter 8, Law 9. We're continuing dealing with the laws. We're jumping back to an oris with an ayin, which are these lattices, if you recall. And we said you have to have five vines against the wall to be a lattice. Now we're going to have an interesting structure for the next lattice over here. Now, I refer you to this picture, which is a little bit hard for you to see from far away, but what you have is a wall here and a wall, a wall here and a wall here. What do you call them? Perpendicular walls, yeah. Right? A 90-degree angle. You've got one vine here, one here, one here, one here, one here. So you have five vines,
but they're
with two walls over here. We're going to see it will have a status of an oris, and even though it is, and you'd like to plant other crops, you can, as long as you're four amas from the edges here, even though you've got two walls impinging on it, it's still okay with four amas, and that's going to be the main point he's going to say over here. Shneik Solom, two walls, Hasmuchim Zelazel, the two walls are adjoining each other. Vehagfanim Netuim Bazavis Benem, and you've got vines planted in the corner between them. Varitz Yosei and Aksolim, and the lattice goes out with the two walls, Mitoch HaKeren V'chol, it goes out from the corner, and then it ends at the end of the two walls that are the 90-degree angles. So now if you'd like to plant crops nearby them, provided that you have the four amas. So marchik meikor ekvanim, if you distance from the roots of the vines, kashir, like the amount you're supposed to have, which is four amas. Vizarea b'mokam akol, and you plant in the area where the four amas are finished. Sheinol of oris, where there is no lattice work. You may do that. V'yaf al pisha zera mechuvan bein shnei aksolim, even though the crop, the seeds that you're planting, is right opposite two walls, Shebeinem Oris, where you have the Oris between them, still it's okay. Ho, Vehircha Kashir, since you have the proper amount in between, Hareza, Zorea, Minaksom, you can plant in between the two walls. Okay.
Here's in our.
I know of a different picture.
It says six Tvachim and not four Amos in my thing.
Well, this is the Rambam Shita. It's the Rambam Shita, how he understands the Mishnah. See, this book showing us this coming from Mishnah. I understand what the English says.
No, it just says his commentary to the Mishnah, Rambam.
Well, it says four amas.
Well,
that's right. It says four amas based on the Rambam.
All right.
That's his commentary on it. So anyway, it would make sense. Okay, let us continue. Halacha Yud. All right, now we have to go to another picture. Yes, if you, 258. If you recall, we mentioned once before when a root comes out of the ground and then it has an elbow and it goes along the ground a little bit and then it comes up again. So the question is, if we're going to have to plant, if this is a singular vine, it's six tfachim away from the vine, from the root. But where do we cheshbon the root? From where the root comes out of the ground before the elbow, or from where the root goes up from the ground in the air on the other side of the elbow? Again, this picture here where the root's coming out. Now, it's just coming out of the ground here. Elbow's to the left. And now, the vine goes up here. So where's the six tfachim have to be? He's going to say the six tfachim comes from when the, not at the elbow bend, but when it elbows up. And that's the sixth tefachim, and that's all this Rambam Melachi is going to say. Efen sha'ola ha'eit shalom min aretz, a vine where the tree comes in from the ground, ma'ar a little bit, v'yachach ne'kam, then it bends, v'nimshach al aretz, and now it drags on the ground, v'chazav ala, and then comes up, k'mo arkuva, like a knee, k'shemodim and again, we have to measure distance from the vine, uvein hazera, and between the seeds you want to plant, Shisha tfachim, Rabbi, it's depending. If it's six tfachim, it's a singular vine. or four tefachim has a status of some type of a small karam or something. In modedim, you only measure elami sofar kuva, from the end of the knee. In other words, the air when it finally comes up, straight up. Lomei ikra gefen risha, not from the first root that comes out of the ground. You don't go from the first thing that comes out of the ground, but the elbow, then up, and when up, and that's where the main vine is coming up from, that's what you calculate from. Okay, now the Rambam is going to give us just a number of rules of thumb, no more pictures. Kfar Beirani already explained, Sha'afal pisha marchik bein hazera bein hagefen kashir, even though you're supposed to plant from a distance between the grain and the vine a certain amount, still and all, even if you have the required distance, whether it's six tefachim or four amas, tzorich l'zerv, to be careful, shlo tesachecha gefen al hayarek, you have to make sure that the vine will not shadow over the leaves will not shadow over the vegetables, or that the left vegetables shouldn't shadow over the vine. They cannot be over each other. That's number one. Number two, what if you did the following? Zora yerek. First you planted a vegetable, otvu or grain. If it somehow starts to grow, and it's growing, it's mid-growth, and then you got the vine, which now the leaf is shadowing over, shading over that. So now, the truth of the matter is, two things have happened in the process of the grain. When the grain initially grows by the root area, it produces straw. Then as it grows further, that's when the main grain comes. In this situation, what happened was, when the grain started to grow, the first part, let's say, the bottom part near the root gets fully developed before the outer part gets developed. So that part near the root, which is the straw, gets fully developed before the leaves from the vine shadow over the plant. The grain, on the other hand, still has to develop, and it will be developing under the cover of the vine. Because of that, okay, hakashim, the straw that comes at the root level of this grain, mutarim, are permitted, because it grew in a permitted state and was finished in a permitted state. It was no longer growing. But if I dug them at the grain, the end part of the wheat or whatever, yidolek must be burnt, because their prod grew in a prohibited way as it grew, as it continued to grow while it was being shadowed from the vine. On the other hand, hayushorsha hagefen, if the roots of the vine, yotzin l'tocha arba amish ben hakerem v'tvua, it now goes into and encroaches into the four amas between the vineyard and the grain. What do? We look at it as the grain is what's imposing. So therefore, yeyoker, we uproot the vine and get rid of it to be away from the four amas. What if the opposite? What if the grain roots start going into the four amas? Mutar, that's allowed. And I don't see the reason why. My commentary doesn't say, and your commentary doesn't say. So I'm not sure why it is mutar.
Does that imply that you could just time the planting of your seasons so that you could basically have multiple different species growing if they mature at different times during the season?
I don't know. From this piece here, it's seeing that, you know, you planted it okay. They were at a certain distance from each other. But now, it's for some reason, when the wheat grows towards the vineyard, it's permitted. So I'm not sure exactly why. Okay, Yud Beis. Now we talk about tvachim. Now there's different kinds of tvachim. There's a tefach like this. A tefach like this. Are the hands, fingers close? It's called a compressed tefach or an expanded tefach. So what kind of tefach do we require in the space in between the vine and the other crops? So Yud Beis says, "Kol archakas v'ashur ma'amur b'kilim." All these distances and the measurements we say by kilaim, ve'ama. We talk about an ama, which is six tefachim. It's bas shisha tefachim sochakos. It has to be six tefachim that are broad, meaning to say that the fingers are out like that. Okay, v'lo yitzamtzem, and not a stingy six tefachim. B'midas hakilaim, in the measurement of kilaim. The only time we go like this is when we have to be machmir. Now, when are you going to be machmir? Well, let's say there's two rows of a vineyard, one next to each other, and you have four precise amas. So we say that will make it be like two together, and it would be considered a finyan to be machmer. In other words, where to be machmer, you use the smaller amount, we use the smaller amount. When to be machmer, you use the wider amount, we use the wider amount. So we need to distance, so we want to be as far away as possible. So we go with a bigger amount and a wider amount. But for the things to be considered close to each other, two rows close enough to make it into a kerem, we don't say, well, it's wider. We go with the smaller one to make it stricter. Yigimel. Kol asher ma'elu shemarchikim ben akfanim tuv, all these amounts that we say the distance between the grain, the vines and the grain, or yark of the vegetables, ain el b'shot, it's only in Eretz Yisrael, over Syria, which rabbinically is treated like Eretz Yisrael because of its proximity. That's when we have all these discussions of the distances. Avo b'chutzal Eretz, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, since the halacha isn't really nogea outside of Eretz Yisrael, in certain areas, mutar lisroa, you may plant, because even in Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't get lashed for doing it this way. Therefore, chutzar, you can plant it even betzad akvanim, even next to the vines, but not on top of the vines. Besocha gerem lechachila. In chutzar, you can plant them right up next to each other, you don't have to distance it. Velo asru, and in action, the only thing in action that they prohibited, b'chutzar, it's, is El Israel Shnei Mina Yerkotfu Imachartz Molos Yad. If you have two species with one vine species and you throw it together with one hand, throw putting them together, that's what's Osir Yichutz Aretz. On the other hand, Vimama Latina Koy Lizrogo, what if you tell a non Jewish minor to toss that for you, Lizrogo, Bechutz Aretz, Osir Yisrael Mutar, it is permitted for the Jew. But you can't do it with an adult goy, because then we could mix it up with a Jew, and you may come to asking an adult Jew to do that, which would not be allowed. Yudal, even though you can plant vegetables next to a vineyard, but at the end of the day, that vegetable that it's planted there, you may not eat it. Even though there's no isser of planting chutz aretz, but still in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael you're not going to get lashed for this. However, to say you can't eat it, since in Eretz Yisrael you wouldn't get hanoah from it, therefore in chutz aretz we say you can't eat it. So it won't be an isser, but you can't eat it.
It's kind of sending a mixed message.
No, because it's being watered down a little bit in chutz aretz. Afilu b'chutz aretz, and even chutz aretz. For who, however, shiro so lo kemocha. You got to know that the guy, let's say someone's selling it to you, so then you can't eat it. But you have to know that the guy who sold, you saw him pick it. You saw him pick the vegetables right next to the vines. Then you can't buy it from him. Afal sveika, but if, let's say, this guy's selling you vegetables, you don't know if it's next to the vine, then mortzitz allowed, kemosh barna b'hilchos macholzers, as when hilchos macholzers. So this is only usher to eat if you know for a fact that they grew together.
Can you benefit from it? Can you sell it?
Benefits you can, but eating not. Eating not. Okay, we have finished the laws of the basic kilayim that have to do with agriculture. In chapter 9, we're now going to deal, and it's only the thing chapter 9 deals with, and only one chapter, dealing with the kilayim of animals. And there's two aspects of kilayim of animals. Aspect number one is you can't mate two different species. And aspect number two, you can't do work with two different species of animals. The first six halachas are going to deal with mating, and the last five are going to deal with working them together. And you're going to see it's not so easy to transgress this avera. It's not so easy. There's a lot of qualifications that must exist for you to transgress mating two different species together. Aleph, hamarkiv zochar on lekev. If you mate a male with a female, she'eno mino, which is not its species. One is not the same species as the other. Bebehim, regardless if it's a domesticated animal, bein b'chayah, whether it's an undomesticated animal, uba ofos or birds, va'afil b'mine chayah shebiyom, even with sea creatures. Okay? Hareza lokam in atar b'chol mokam. You'll be lashed if you do it, biblically, no matter where you are, in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's what he's saying. Bein b'aretz, bein b'chutz aretz. Shenemar, how do we know? It says, behem tacha, your animal, lo sarbiya kilayim. You shall not mate hybrids. Okay? And now another interesting halacha. Even though it says behemtecha, your animal, there's other drushes that say it's not only your animal, but even somebody else's animal. If it's a domesticated, undomesticated, or bird of your own, or shalchaver of your friend. Let's say you go into your friend's farm and you mate two separate animals. You will be lashed for mating your animal. Now, obviously, the owner won't be lashed. He doesn't know what's going on. He's not doing it. But you will get lashed not only if it's yours, but even if it doesn't belong to you. Veina loka. Now, here's the one that's going to make it pretty difficult. You don't get lashed biblically. You must, with your hand, put the organs together of the two animals. Kibichol b'shoferes, like, this is an expression in the Gemara, like an applicator into its case, which is being very euphemistic over there. You must take the male organ with your hand and thrust it into the female organ. Then you've actively put the two together as a hybrid. Avalim helam, but let's say you helam, but what if you put one on top of the other, which they may understand on their own what to do next. Zalze, bavad alone, o sha'orim b'kol, or you stimulate them with your voice, and that brings them to be together. Then makinos o makas. Martis, you only get rabbinic lashes for that. Okay, now, so there's two levels so far. The biblical level, you must actively put the two together. The rabbinic, if you are directly causing the two of them to be together without touching them. Now we're going to look at halacha base. Mutter, but what you can do, but more indirect is permitted even rabbinically. Mutter lahachnis shnei mini l'sarachot. You can put two different species in one pen and leave them to their own imagination. Vimra osam rovim says, if you see they're mating with each other and they did on their own, ein hazakel afrishim, you don't have to separate them. V'aser liyisrael, on the other hand, so that's that. Final thing is, just like in many areas, you can't ask a non-Jew to do something for you that you yourself could not do. This will apply here as well. Let's say the Jew owns different species of animals and would like to mate them. So he'll tell a non-Jew to do the physical activity, because a Jew's not commanded on this. So can he tell the non-Jew to do it? The answer is no. For you are not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do that activity for yourself, which you would not be able to do for yourself, as we find in many instances where this halacha is such.
When you say species,
we're going to talk about what species is shortly. We have to get to the species now. One more halacha, though. Misha avar v'hirkivim, let's say you did transgress, and you made it two different species, kilaim, and now you get a baby, which is, a horse and a donkey, and you get a mule. Can you benefit from that mule? The halacha is harei hanoah, man, what is born from that, mutter banoah, it's permitted in hanoah, can't eat it, because you'll see, in a certain case where they're tame. Okay, so let's say the horse and the mule, the horse and the donkey, which are not kosher, so the only thing you can have is hanoah, so you may have hanoah from the baby that comes out of that. What if you take two kosher animals that are two separate species and put them together? You can even eat it. If you take two separate kosher animals, let's say a cow with a deer, okay, which are both kosher animals, if you can mate them together and you get a kir or a dao, mutter v'achila, you may eat it, like we learned in the law of prohibited foods. Okay, now, what is the definition in terms of one or two species? So it goes what their DNA or what their genes are. No matter how similar they may look, we have to look, is it indeed a separate species or not? Shnei mina behemah, if it's two separate species of domesticated animals, ochayu, or undomesticated animals, shedomosa, although they may look similar, afal pishamis abrinzamiseh, even though one can impregnate the other. Now that can only happen, by the way, if they have similar gestation periods. If one animal is a shorter gestation, it's not going to work. So that's one of the medical phenomena over there. So the vidomas, and they're very similar to each other. So they have many similarities. But if lamaisa hovem shnei minim, if they're two different species, harem kilaim, that is still kilaim to put them together. First of all, give them, you may not mate them. Kate said, let's have an example. Has the av imakelev, a wolf with a dog. There are some dogs, let's say a big German, there's certain dogs that look like wolves, and wolves that look like dogs, and they can have the same gestation periods and everything. They look pretty, like a husky. But that's is a husky a dog? Yeah, husky's a dog, but looks like a wolf, right? But one is the dog family, one is the wolf family, although you could mistake them. Still in all, the Kelava Kafri, or the village watchdog, Imashua, with a fox, are pretty similar looking. Vahat Svaim, and deers, Ima Izim, with goats, right?
Yeah.
Vahaya Elim, and mountain goats, Ima Rachelim, with sheep. Vasus Ima Perid, and a horse with a mule. Vaperim a chamor, and a mule with a horse. Vachamor Imha Arod, and a chamor with an arod. That's a desert donkey. Afalpishadom is Elis, even though they look very similar. Harehim Kilaim Zevazet, it's Kilaim to put the two of them together.
A poodle and a German shepherd.
Now those are dogs.
Yeah, they're both. Yeah.
So it's a dog and a dog, that's not going to be a problem. Mean Shieshbo Midbar Vishivi. Let's say there's a species, the same species, but if it grows in the desert, it looks different than if it grows domesticated. So it's really the same gene pool, but they're going to look different just because of where they're growing. So Min Sheshbo Midbar Vishuvi, a species that has a desert variety and a domesticated variety. Kigon, for example, Shor HaBor, the wild ox, Imashor with the domesticated ox. Vaharamoch, with a riding horse that rides for long distances, Imasus with a regular horse. So now they may look very different, but it's the same species. So you may mate the two of them. They are one species. Avol avaz, but a goose. Imagaz bor, with a wild goose, that's kilaim zebazet. That's kilaim, because they're two different species. Mipnesha avaz besi, because the domesticated goose, beitza bifnim, its testicles are inside its body. Va'avaz born, the wild one, Beitz of Mibachutz, his testicles are outside its body. So Makol, we see from that, Shem Shemi, they must be two different species. Va'ha'koi, the famous koi brothers, the koi, most many say is the buffalo. The koi is something that's a suffek behema, suffek chaya. It's a famous koi in the Gemara. It's kilayim. Because in and of itself, it's like a kilaim. So you can't mate it with anything because of the suffek, because whatever you mate it with, it might be a chaya, so you can't mate it with a behemoth. It might be a behemoth, you can't do it with a chaya.
But another koi?
That's a good question he doesn't talk about. Ima chaya, ima behema. If you put it together with a chaya behema, you can't do that. Ve'ain lokin alav, but you can't give him lashes. It's a suffek since we don't know. So a koi with a koi, no, that would be okay because it's the same species. For sure, whatever a koi is, another koi is exactly what the koi is. So that's not a problem. Now, there's a little bit of trickier halacha involved. Hayaludi mina kelaim. Okay, the children born from a kelaim match. Okay, let's say like this. A horse and a donkey get a mule. Now, there's going to be a different. So now, could you now mate two mules together? You could, because they're the same species. However, it depends if the mother is the same. What I mean to say is, you could have a mule where the mother's a horse and the father's a donkey. You can have a mule where the mother's a donkey and the father's a horse. If it's different mothers to the children, you understand what I'm saying? Where one is the donkey and one is the horse, is the mother, then those two identical mules cannot mate with each other. Because the mother, there's different mothers, so it's almost like a different species within the similar species. So it's got to be the type of mule where both separate mothers were both horses, or both separate mothers were both donkeys. That's the bottom line he's going to say. So even though you think, well, what, two mules is the same species? No, we go with the mother, and if each one has a male gene from one animal, same animal, then the children can mate together. Hayuludimina kelaim, animals born from kelaim. Imhayu imosem, if the separate mothers were minecha, the same species, then mutar lakim esem, you can mate them together. Imhayu shnemin, but the mothers was different, where one was a horse and one was a donkey. Also lakim esem, you can't mate them together. And here, if you do, like you get lashed. Similarly, what if the one that's born, let's say the mule, and it's going to, one second, let's say the one that was born from a horse and a female mule, can that be afilo alminima, even with a specie like its mother would be a mule? Even though the mother was a mule, it couldn't be with a mule.
Just checking.
Loka would get lashed as well.
Mules are almost always sterile. Because it's
no, mules are sterile.
Yeah, yeah.
We're saying the mother's a donkey.
But I thought you wanted to use about mating a mule with another.
Mating, it doesn't matter, they have to have kids.
Oh, okay.
Mules can mate, but they're not going to have kids. Right. The mating alone is usher. Has nothing to do with having kids. So that's the point. Kate said, let's have an example. Already explained it. Parrot, a mule. She'ima, a mule that comes from. She'ima, the mother was a chamor, was a donkey. The mutar larkiva, you can mate that mule. Alpirda, with a female mule. She'ima chamor, that's mother. Her mother was also a donkey. But for us, okay. For us, larkiva, but you can't match him up. Afila chamor with
a donkey.
With a donkey, because it's not a donkey, it's a mule. Avol parrot, but a mule. Shimo sus, whose mother was a horse. Also, akiva, you can't mate it. Alpirda, with a female mule. Shimo chamor, the mother was a donkey. V'chein kol avir, same thing, similar to that. Lefika, therefore, harosa laharkiv parrot alpirda. If you want to mate a male mule with a female mule, olim shoch b'shtei fraros, or you want to draw, pull something with two mules, bodek b'simoni, you got to check their simon, or two female mules, you got to check their simonim. Now he's slipping into now work nice. He just slipped in b'shtei prados. You have to check their simonim. In other words, how are you going to tell if the mother was a mule or not? How can you tell? In other words, you see two mules. How do I know? So there's a way. There's a telltale signs. You check osnayim, the ears, v'zonav, and the tail, v'kol, and the voice, the braying. If they're similar types of ears, similar types of tails and braying, they know it's from the same species of mother. In other words, if the father was a mother was a different animal, the ears will look different. So if they look the same in these three ways, you know they had a common type of a mother, then they can be mated together, or we'll see shortly when we get to the luckos, they can be worked together. Zion. Now we're on the working of the animals. So let's stop over here. It's a good place to stop because we'll start working of animals after that. Okay.
You have five, we can do chetzi kedush.